There was a picture where Jesus, Solomon painted in his songs, where Jesus was outside of his own house knocking at the door. Trying to get in, Brother Van Dyke, into his own house. Standing outside, and the dewdrops had wet the locks, and he stood there with the drops of the night in his hair, and he stood outside knocking, asking to be let into his own house. And then in the book of Revelation, we find a picture there where the Lord Jesus himself is again outside, wanting to come in, but so many doctrines and disciplines and theology and ideas and so many personal ambitions in the human spirit and in the human heart and mind that the Word hath no place and it just stands outside in the ministry and knocks, pleading, the Word, Jesus Christ, pleading, in this age, pleading, asking you to give him a place. But as it was at his coming in the days when the virgin conceived, so it is in our day, he can't find no place in the end. There's no place for him. He stands outside and knocks. No place for him, no room for him to be born, no room for him to come into the hearts. What's the matter? The world won't have him. I want you to turn with me tonight. I want to take my time, not hold you long, but I want to take my time and try to share with you just a few of the things that God shares with me. I never remember going behind the sacred desk at any time in my life when I can truthfully say that I fully shared with the people the things that God gave me. Though our attempt as Paul is to declare the full counsel of the Lord, yet it's a proven fact that we only get just a tiny bit over to the congregation of what God has given us perhaps in one day. Now today the Lord has taught with me much today, very much. He has shared wonderful revelation and inspired me over past revelation that's never been presented to the people. Today for hours he's communed with me. But now, you know what it took for God to be able to commune with me? Just to be willing to stay inside of that room, get every worldly thing off of my mind, everything that seemed to be so important that Paul termed as beggarly elements of the world, steal away with Christ and stay right there in the room with him and let the Spirit of God woo my soul and break down the words of his revelation and understanding. That's all it took. That's all it takes for you. You know, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that if God can take the prophets and the ministry and cause them to leave everything behind and give everything they've got into searching and seeking for the treasures of heaven, that we can be interested 30 or 40 minutes in a sermon. Don't you? Well, I didn't come here to upbraid you tonight. Maybe you need it. I think we need a lot more of it. But I didn't come here for that. I come to try to share revelation with you. Praise the Lord. Reading from the book of St. Matthew's tonight. If God will help us, I'd love to get into a little revelation. I want you to think on this just before I read. A minister cannot preach except by inspiration. Now today my cup has run over because I've been inspired as I talk with God. But when he comes out and stands behind the sacred desk and he looks at the people, and I'm not mocking, I don't mean to do that, and he sees them like this, he's not inspired. And it's hard for him to get away from that carnal mind of expression to get into the mind of Christ, which is the inspiration. Now remember this. When Jesus went off over in the land of the Gadarenes, all they did was just say, "Depart out of our coast," and the Bible said he left. You don't have to say anything to the Lord Jesus. You just show a disinterest in spiritual things. You just show a disinterest in God and watch the Lord lead. That's right. The Spirit of God. The Bible said, "He that seeketh, findeth." To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Seek ye the kingdom. It's a searching, it's a seeking, not just coming and sitting down and saying, well, if we get it all right, if we don't get it all right, but it's searching and seeking. I told my wife today, I said, Betty, I said, honey, if ever anything ever happens to me and my mental faculties ever break down, I said, remember one thing. It's not because of the spirit of joy and peace and righteousness. I said, no man in the world could be as happy or any happier than I am. I've got peace, I've got peace, I've got peace like no man's ever known. I've got great and mighty peace. My spirit, my mind, and my heart is so peaceful that I can't describe it. I'm so much at rest and so happy deep down within my spirit and so satisfied. I said, but if I ever break down, you'll know it's because I stayed there so long straining these nerves and these mental faculties, trying to get beyond this physical man, trying to get a hold of God and pressing in and trying to get a hold of that which is in that other world. Just like a carpenter that stays on a job and puts in too many hours. Well, we ain't supposed to draw back from the cross. If that's what it takes, that's what we want. All right, in the book of Matthews, let's see if we can seek just a little bit tonight and see if the mind of the Lord will come in and take over. If you'll get just a little bit hungry tonight, he'll just come in and he'll take over and he'll just begin to feed you. In other words, no man hath control over the spirit. How many of you know that? He has to do it himself. And he just doesn't feed anybody that's not hungry. Why, even you don't share your food with people that's not hungry. But now you don't mind sharing it with a little boy or girl that's hungry, do you? Well, the Lord's the same way. So let's get hungry tonight. He that hungers and thirst. Let's hunger. I say, Brother Pike, what's the need of it? Because in a little while the rapture's going to take place. And if you're ever going to get right with God, if you're ever going to get the revelation of God, if you're ever going to get hungry in God, you better start getting hungry. Brother Bobby was just telling me today about a dream he had about some folks. And said he looked at them and said they'd gone to sleep with their clothes on and they slept too late to go to work on their jobs. I believe there's something spiritual there. What is it? God might be you. You say, is it me, Brother Pike? It could be you. I'm not saying who it is, but it could be you. It could be you. It could be me. But it could be you. So let's wake up. Said he rewards us according to our labor. St. Matthew's, the 27th chapter, reading over in the 47th verse, I believe it is. See if we can get a thought here. Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now I want you to especially notice here, in the 51st verse, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now when we read the natural word here, I want you to think on something. God has presented through the past years himself as a literal word of the printed page. He has done that you and I might acquaint our mental faculties with the Word of God, which is a written, manifested description of the spiritual God that's ever present within our midst. Now God's here tonight. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. The angels of the Lord are here tonight. All of them are here tonight. They're encamped around about us. They've got their eyes on you. They're watching you. The Holy Ghost is watching you. He's watching you tonight. The angels of God are watching you tonight to see what kind of interest you show in God, to see what kind of spiritual atmosphere there is about you. They're watching you tonight. All in here. They're all in here tonight. And notice this. God, who is the ever-present God that gathers in the midst where two or three come together in His name, that God, because He is invisible, Paul said He is the invisible God. But it said that Abraham and Isaac and Elijah endured as seeing Him who is invisible. How did they do all the great things that they done? They endured as seeing Him who is invisible. How did I go to Canada and preach by faith? I endured as seeing Him who is invisible. Not too long ago, out in the Idaho mountains, as we come across the mountains, Betty and I and the children, I left Portland, Oregon, going over to Wisconsin, about 2,000 miles, had about $25, and that's all I had. I said, Betty, the Spirit of God wants us to take a step of faith. And I knew that it was snow country all the way, and it was mountains. I didn't know anybody, never preached through that area. I knew that I had to cross Idaho. I knew I had to cross those other great states, the states of the Dakotas and so forth. But I said, Betty, let's endure seeing Him who is invisible. Let's go by faith. God said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. God said, I'll meet your needs. I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, if you will but take me at my word. I started off. We got on a route over there that they call the Bitterroot Mountain. I reckon where we sit down south would be Bitter Route. I reckon that's what they meant by Bitterroot Mountain, because it was a bitter root or a bitter route, ever how you want to speak of it. We started through the mountains and it was snowing. I didn't have any snow chains. My old tires, I didn't have any snow grip tires, just plain old tires. And I started up the mountain. The snow got deeper and deeper, and I just couldn't go any farther. And the car got slower and slower and slower. And Betty was driving, and I don't know whether you've ever seen snow like that or not, but I do declare, I don't believe that I'm exaggerating, when I said snow come down just about the size of a half a dollar or bigger, the snowflakes seemed to be that they were that big and just as thick as they could be. It looked to me like within an hour's time it could completely wrap me up, my family, my car, and everything. At the rate it was coming down, it looked like it was going to do just that. And we were there in the mountains, wasn't nobody traveling that route. And there we started to cross the mountains, and Betty got scared as the snow just completely covered the windshield. And as the snow bed got so deep we couldn't travel, Betty stopped. She was almost at a stop anyway, and she stopped to let me get into the other side of the car so I could drive. And I want you to know, when I got over there, that car didn't do nothing but sit there and spin. And up there they have what they call little emergency huts, maybe a little room, just a little tiny room. Maybe you find one here and another 2 or 3 miles or something. And we had just passed one and we got caught in between those little emergency huts. And there we was way back out in the mountains and the wilderness. And I with the car stopped, I said, Betty, I said, this car won't move. I said, I don't know how much gas we got. I said, when the gas gives out, the heat will give out. And I said, I know we are low in gas. My register wouldn't work on the car. And I said, we're low in gas. And I done tried to get gas back down the road, but it was dark and we couldn't get any. And I said, Betty, I said, we've got to believe God. I said, God said He'd supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. I said, God's got to come on the scene. There's no possible way out. It's got to be a supernatural work from God. And I prayed, and I began to mash the accelerator. That car began to slide backwards, and it slid right off into the snowbank. And there we sat, and the gas ready to run out. I said, Betty, I said, I'm glad that I'm on a rock. I said, I'm glad that I found the right thing when I did. I said, I'm glad that I've got the right thing, because I am not shaken the least bit. I said, I'm not worried. God will make a way. I said, I believe it with all of my heart. It stirred Betty. It stirred the children. It was a stirring time.
We knew we'd freeze to death in a little bit. Or it would cover us up. It was covering the, it done covered the roads and got real deep. And it was covering the car over. And I knew something had to be done. I said, God, I said, I believe just exactly what you said. I said, in this time of crisis, God, you will come to the rescue. I prayed and I prayed. I said, Betty, are you sure you haven't met any cars while you was traveling? I believe she said, George, I met one car, and that was way back yonder, miles and miles and miles back. And I haven't met another car. And I said, God's got to do something. And we prayed, we prayed, we prayed. And then after a while, I got out and I dug and I'd done everything I could to get it out. And it just wouldn't come out. And I couldn't hardly stand to stay outside. And so I walked way up the dark road up there. Didn't want to get too far away from my family. But I walked up the road and I said, well, maybe that emergency shack is close enough back by to where we can get into it. But I went up there and I couldn't find it. I went back and I dug some more and I prayed some more. Then I said, Betty, God's going to move. God's going to do something for us. I prayed, and about that time over the top of the mountain, right when it looked like we was just at the very last step of the way, there came a car over the mountains. And I looked, and it was just two people in the car, and they were easing over the mountain. And when they come, they got close to us, and they stopped. And when they stopped, it went out there, and it looked to me like two men. They had their hair bobbed off. Really, it was two women was what it was. But they got snowbound somewhere or got into the snow, and they were late coming in, and they were just easing across. And she had snow grips on her car. I began to talk with her, and I looked at one of them, and one of them was so much like a man that I just knew it was a man. And it was a big husky girl as it was. And I said, lady, I finally recognized one of them over here as a woman. And I said, lady, I said, I've got to get out of that snowbank. She said, well, is there anything that we can do to help? I said, I don't know. I said, I just prayed. And I said, God sent you along. And so I looked at the other lady that was sitting over there. And she got out, and this woman got out. And I thought, well, now I'll be merciful to this lady. I'll just get this man. He's a big husky man. I'll get him on one side. And I'll get on the other, and we'll really push that thing out of here. And so it was, I told him, which was a her, I said, you get over there, and I'll get over here. And I'll tell you, I don't know just how that woman felt, but I think that after that, she was about ready to let her hair grow out and let people recognize what she was, because I really put her through the mill that night. I had her pushing and tugging, and finally, by the help of God, God began to move the car. But I want you to know that we tried everything we could, and that car wouldn't move. I looked at that woman, and I said, well, I said, there's just one thing about it. I said, there's just one thing. I said, God is with me. I said, I'm a minister. I said, now, when we've done all we can to stand, we've got to stand. And I said, we pushed and we tugged. And I said, we're getting nowhere. I said, I'm going to call on the name Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm going to believe in God's going to get this car out of here. And I said, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, get this automobile out of the snowbank. And God in heaven knows that I'll have to stand there in the day of judgment and give account for what I'm saying. The automobile, after all the trouble we had, began to roll out of the snowbank. And we got out there, and then after we got out of the snowbank, we were sitting there in the road, and this woman got in her car, and we thanked her, and that was all she could do. And she went on her way, and then we got in our car, and it just sat there and spinning. She was gone, and the car was sitting there spinning. I said, oh, my goodness. And we began to push. We've gone up a mountain. We pushed it for about, I guess, a quarter of a mile, spinning the tires and pushing it. Got it that far, and we just couldn't get it any farther. The snow was still piling on. And I said, it was way in the middle of the morning, I guess, by then. And I prayed again. I said, God, I said, you've got to help us. And I want you to know that God spoke to that same woman's heart. She turned around after she went miles down the snowy road and come back up there to where we were. And she said, something told me to come back. She now wasn't Christians, but she said, I just couldn't get away. And so I turned to this other woman. I said, something tells me to go back up there. And she said, well, said, I don't know. Said, we're just women. Said, if we get stranded out here, said, we're really in a fix. But she said, if you feel like going, said, go ahead. So they turned around, God gave them the courage to come back. And I want you to know that when they got back up there to where we were, we all got in the car, and then her car wouldn't go.
And there we were in her car, and her car wouldn't move. So we turned her car around and pushed it around, and we started down the hill. And by going down the hill, all of us could get into it. But I want you to notice what happened. I done cut my car off, and my car was over on the side of the road. But I want you to see how God worked. Even though we spent the night right where we was, you might say, how do you know you spent the night there? It was still dark. I want you to know when we turned around and started down that road, here come the snow plows that had quit work hours back because of the heavy snow. And they were coming in the morning. And just as I was leaving my car, they come along and said, wait, said, we'll clear the way for you. And said, if you can get to the top of this hill, you can coast all the way down into the next city. Said, it's miles and miles, but said, if you'll just be careful, said, you can make it. I want you to know that God kept that woman out there with the automobile and kept my little babies warm. And God took care of us because we endured as seeing Him who is invisible. And God met the way. We traveled thousands of miles and spent over $200 and burn out generators and I don't know what all happened. But God met the need all the way over to Wisconsin. We got there, I believe we'd spent about $200 or something, but God met the need. And besides that, while I was riding across those, after we found the victor there, still following Him who was invisible, got out there across the lands of Dakota, snow, and lo and behold, I just had just a little bit of money, and God said, send Bobby Woodruff an offering. Right out there in the middle of the Dakotas, I said, Lord, I said, Benny, I said, God just spoke to me. I said, Lord, do you want me to send an offering? Let me tell you something, friend. When God spoke to that little widow to give all that she had, it was for a reason. God knew what little money I had. I'd never make it across that plain. He knew He had to do a miracle for me. And He knew that my faith wasn't in condition to believe for a miracle after the things I'd been through with. But He knew if He could just get me to give a little bit, something that would inspire my faith, God could work a miracle. And I said, Betty, God said, send Brother Bobby an offering. And I said, Betty, I'm going to send it to him. So we began to look, and after a while we found a little old store out there way out in the Dakotas. And it's way out in the Dakotas, just a lonely little place. And we stopped, and it was a place where you could get a money order with some kind of little old post office or something. And I think the lady was glad to see us come by. It was such a lonely spot. And we needed some crackers, something to eat. And the lady gave the baby some crackers. We didn't have to ask. She just gave it to him. Oh, I could tell you so many things tonight. Enduring as seeing Him who is invisible. Walking with God. Doing the thing that God tells us to do. And so it was. There, I got back in the car and my faith was at rest and I was at peace with God because I had done the thing that pleased God. I found out later how much the offering was really needed back here. For at that time that they were going through a crisis and it was really needed. And Brother Bobby was gone off over to the island somewhere and his wife really had a need. But God met my needs, Brother Bobby. God poured out His Spirit on me. And God caused me to get telegrams in the way. I don't know how God worked it, but He done it. And we made that trip successfully because we endured as seeing Him who is invisible. You know, I want to say this tonight. A lot of times we fail to do the things that God tells us because we think God is trying to take from us. Which reminds me of a night I started out of the church and God said, give the last bit of money you got in the church. And I gave the last bit of money that I had in the there. I gave it to the man there. And it was just a little bit. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but You said, give it. And I needed a set of tires for my car. And before I got to the door, somebody stopped me and gave me a set of tires. Couldn't have possibly have bought them with what little money I had. God wanted to bless me. God wants to bless us, but we've got to create an interest in God's Word, and we've got to put forth an effort and give of our substance. How much? Give all of our living. Praise the Lord. What? Enduring as seeing Him who is invisible. I want you to stand with me. I haven't preached to you much tonight. I just kind of testified, and since the testimony, I didn't know it was going to be that long. I usually don't get into nothing like that. I usually let Betty do that because testimonies and preaching the gospel is just kind of two different things. Testimonies is a confirmation. But preach the gospel, and I just felt like, I don't know why I felt like doing that tonight, because God has given me some wonderful revelation that I want to share with you tonight. But maybe you needed that, I don't know. But I do want you to think on this tonight. Because we don't have enough interest here. I feel an interest now, we could go on. But see, it's getting late. It's a little too late to really get into Revelation message now. But that is where you have to work. But I want you to create an interest. When you come to the house of God, try to get interested in God's Word. You say, preacher, why do you plead with me to get interested in God's Word? Listen, in just a short while, you'll lift up your eyes and hail. And if I stand before God, you would give 10 million worlds if you could just hear me say one more time, get interested in the Word of God. There's people, friend, that's screaming in hell tonight. They've been screaming in hell for thousands of years. And if they could just hear one more time the voice of a preacher say, repent, you couldn't hold them. You couldn't hold them. They'd run to the altars. They're in hell tonight. Some more are on their way. And here's the sad part about it. Do you realize that we are on the brink of eternity? And that out of the small congregation that's standing right here tonight, that some of you are no doubt, and I trust that you're not, but some of you no doubt are those that were before of old ordained unto condemnation, because God saw that you never would keep your spirits right, and with in spite of all the preacher preaches, within your lifetime you're still going to hell. You're as good as in hell tonight. Why? Because he saw what you was going to do. You say, Brother Pine, if that be so, then I haven't got a chance. God said, let whosoever will, he just knowed who would and who wouldn't. I guarantee you one thing, if you humble your heart and your spirit and your soul, and you come down and you cry out to God, God foresaw it from the foundation of the world. He foresaw you doing those things. But if you don't do it, God also foresaw that too. Don't you forget it. Peter said, make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're one of the called. Make sure you're one of the elect. How can I do this? He said, by performing these things. Gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, patience. Said, if you do these things, if your nature can produce these things, Peter said, you're one of the elect. Ain't nothing can ever cause you to fall. Now, I said this, and I want to say it again hurriedly tonight. Anybody can show a good spirit when things are going their way. Anybody can do that. Anybody can pay attention when something makes them feel good. But it takes the nature of Christ when they're spitting in your face, when they're mocking you, when they're trying to crucify you. It takes God's spirit and God's nature to be able to maintain love and kindness then. That's what proves what you are. So then I ask you to come and gather around the altar with me tonight just for a few minutes. Come and talk with me just for a few minutes. As far as I know, we'll close the revival out tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be the last night, as far as I know, unless God should speak different. But I want to see some of you really get stirred up in your spiritual being and search for God. I want to see you get acquainted with God and realize your need for God. Friend, the end is coming. I want you to realize that the end of time is coming. When I leave here, I trust that I'll see you again. But it's been about a year since I was here last time. And do you realize that the Lord Jesus could very easily have come during that period of time? And before I could ever see you again, the Lord Jesus could come back into the world. It's a fearful time. But in other words, the Bible said it's at the door. He said we would know when it was near. He said ye shall know when it's near. You're not children of darkness. He said, but you're children of understanding. You're children of light. And he said the wicked would not understand, but the righteous would understand. And he said that day shall not come upon you unaware. Do you really believe that we as children of God who have served God and prayed to God, do you really believe that he would deceive us and let the day catch us unaware? You know he wouldn't. He said, ye shall know when it's near at hand. And he said, ye shall know that it's nigh, even at the door. Even at the door, friend. And I want you to know that it's nigh tonight. It's nigh tonight. Everything shows that it's nigh tonight. While you're praying, I want you just to listen for just a minute here.
The Bible said that the wise men saw his star in the east. Now I want you to think seriously on this while you're praying. Keep your minds right on God. The wise men saw his star in the east, and they went to pay tribute unto this great Christ that was born in a manger. You might say, Brother Pike, you're crazy when I say this, but I want you to hear me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, all things has only been types and shadows of that great and notable day of the Lord. Did you know, as far as I know, this is the truth, that the little place of Jeffersonville, Indiana, is called Nazareth. It means Nazareth. Did you know that William Branham is a type of the Lord Jesus, and that God is appearing in the body of William Branham in this age, because he is a Messiah of the age, being a type of that star among stars? The wise men knew that it was the star that ruled the stars, because it was the greatest star. And stars represent angels, and angels represent ministers. I'm telling you just what God showed me. And there has come on the scene a minister that has been magnified by God above all the rest, to show the head coming to the body. And the wise men are seeing that star. And the shepherds of the flock are seeing that star. And that same Jesus that could find no place to be born, it's the same today. It's the same today. A virgin body has been found. And I believe that that virgin body is the body of William Branham that God's preserved for it. And in that virgin body that types out the Virgin Mary of the church, the Christ of heaven is being born unto his people. Born in a stable. You might say, Brother Pike, what do you mean a stable? Remember, the people of this world are considered brute beasts, and they dwell out yonder in a place that God calls the stable. And he was driven out of the churches, and there was no place for him in the end. And he had to be born among the brute beasts of this world. Born in a stable. The shepherds, they've come to look on him. Those that are watching their flocks, they've come to look on him. They've come around, they took a look. Who was it that crucified him? Who was it? Remember this. It was when the body of Jesus Christ began to go against the politics of that day, they put him on a cross. And remember, though Daniel, though the Hebrew children, though Jesus never tried to cross their laws, yet they made laws that crossed the gospel that they stood for, that they might condemn them. And I want you to know the Catholic Church is going to cross this body of Christ that's being born. It's going to cross the ministry of William Branham because its teachings are contrary. And when he stands for the right, you know who's going to take him to the cross? He said, I got these nails in the house of my friends. It's going to be the church world that don't have the revelation. They're going to call him an antichrist, causing types and shadows. He is a perfect antichrist in types and shadows, as far as the natural man's concerned. But the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And when you reverse it around, he's the perfect type of Christ. And the others who seem to be the right thing are antichrists. What does it mean? It means that they're not going to be satisfied till they do away with this body. I wish tonight that I could have brought forth the message here, though I wasn't trying to tonight. But I could have brought forth the message that I've got on tape that I preached in Hialeah, Florida, on Joseph, rejected of his brethren, concerning the body of Christ and these things that God revealed to me. Friend, I want you to know that it's nigh. It's even at the door. The sign of his coming is appearing. His star is being seen. And I want to say this, and I want you to think on it for just a few minutes. God, who hath manifested himself as the written word, has at last come to manifest himself as a being in this world. He promised to do it He promised to make those scriptures come alive. He promised a day when he would do away with the written word as far as consuming the printed page, and that the word would live among us, and it would not be something that we'd hear or read, but it would be God himself manifested. And we've come to that age. We've come to the time when those scriptures have been fulfilled, and now God himself is appearing. The spiritual word is appearing. I had such a great message tonight that I would like to have shared with you. But God knows. He knows what we have to say to stir, and he knows what we can feed off of. But think on this. With this, I'm going to turn the service back to our brother. But think on this one thing, friend. Remember this, that when we have to feed off of something outside of what God desires to give us, it just means that we're left out of that much of the mind of Christ. And it just means that we're that much longer in growing up and coming to the real thing that God's got for us.